Welcome back to our study of Leviticus. We are in chapter 8 of Leviticus, and we just finished reading verses 22 and 23. And if you'll remember, we talked about Moses sacrificing a ram of consecration for Aaron and his sons. And then Moses actually took some of the blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear and on the thumb of his right hand and on the big toe of his right foot. And we've talked before about how that blood symbolized a purification, if you will, and the blood being placed on the ear pointing to the purification of the hearing, and the thumb symbolizing the work, the acts, the actions, and the big toe, the walk, the lifestyle, and how important that is to get your thinking right. You've got to have your hearing, listening and attentive to what the Lord says, right? Paying attention to Him. Your actions need to be in alignment with what the Word of God is speaking. And then your lifestyle, too. And so we're going to pick up in verse 24 with what happens with Aaron's sons. And you're going to see some similarities. And this is not repetitious, you understand. This is God's procedure that we're reading.
Actually, when you look at that, what Heather was just talking about with the ear and the thumb and the walk, it's all dedicated to the Lord. Mm-hmm. The toe, I said the walk. But in other words, you're totally dedicated to the Lord. From the head to the foot, okay? You're dedicated to the Lord. If you're going to represent the Lord, then you're going to have to hear from the Lord. You got to set that apart. You're not hearing the world. You're there to hear from God. And you're working with your hands for God. And your feet, you're walking in the ways of God. So all this is very significant when they're going through this process. Now, here again, Moses is doing all the sacrificing. Moses is doing everything at this point because Aaron and his sons are not yet consecrated to the point that they are in a position to carry out the duties. They have to go through these actually 7 days of consecration period before they're eligible to represent the Lord in, through the sacrifices and this type of thing.
Very good. So let's take a look together, please, with at verse 24 of chapter 8 of Leviticus. And he, who's that he? Moses. And he brought Aaron's sons, and Moses put the blood upon the tip of their right ear and upon the thumbs of their right hands and upon the great toes of their right feet. And Moses sprinkled the blood upon the altar round about.
Here again, this is part of the consecration ceremony, the setting them apart to do the service of the Lord. A lot of people had the idea that, well, God called me, so I'm ready to go. No, you're not ready to go. You're ready to be trained. You're ready for the consecration. You're ready to be cleansed and all these other things. And so there's a difference between the call of God and the commission of God. The call of God's come to me. Learn from me. Get set apart for me. Then when we meet the criteria of the Lord, then He sends us out to represent Him. That's what I would call the commission of God, okay?
In verse 25, and he took the fat and the rump and all the fat that was upon the inwards and the caul above the liver and the two kidneys and their fat and the right shoulder and out of the basket of unleavened bread that was before the Lord, he took one unleavened cake and a cake of oiled bread and one wafer and put them on the fat and upon the right shoulder. Let me keep going. And he put all upon Aaron's hands and upon his son's hands and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord.
So here he's just acting out what God's already told him to do. This is the real deal here. Now he's doing it. He gets his instructions. Now he's carrying out the instructions by following God's protocol with this, with the fat and the internal organs and the unleavened bread. And all this would be to be presented to the Lord daily, the unleavened bread and all. He took a cake of bread. A cake of bread had been mixed with oil and a wafer. So there's different things here that he's offering to the Lord. He puts these pieces of bread on the fat, on the right thigh, and then he puts them in the hands of Aaron, his son. This is part of the consecration process. And then they are to wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. Now, you know, to your natural mind, you may think, what in the world is all this about? You know, Well, God knows what it's all about. It's not our position to question why. It's our position to do what he tells us to do. Moses is following the instructions, and then Aaron and his son are to follow the instructions of Moses, because in reality, the instructions of God. And we have to learn that, and it's something that's lacking in the Christian world. People follow the instructions of men, they don't follow the instructions of God. Ministers are not following the instructions of God. They think they have a better way. They come up with their own plan. Well, we'll do it this way and this way and this way, and then we'll just ask God to approve of what we do. God approves of what he initiates, not what you initiate. You follow me? Mm-hmm. And so we have to learn to do things God's way.
Excuse me. And Moses took them from off their hands and burnt them on the altar upon the burnt offering. They were consecrations for a sweet savor. It is an offering made by fire unto the Lord.
Now you think about this. This is a consecration offering. It's a pleasant aroma to God. When a person is consecrated to God, when we yield ourselves over, it's just a pleasant aroma to God. It pleases him. And that's what this is all about, is getting set apart to the Lord to be a proper representative for the Lord. I'm telling you, a big portion of Christians today are not good representatives of the Lord. They're not consecrated to the Lord. They're too hung up on themselves and the way they want to do things.
And Moses took the breast and waved it for a wave offering before the Lord. For of the ram of consecration it was Moses' part, as the Lord commanded Moses.
Now understand, Moses is just carrying out the instructions of the Lord. You can say, well, Moses is taking the best part of the meat. You know, I mean, here he is taking the bread. That wasn't Moses' idea. That was God's idea. Now, Moses must obey God even though he can be falsely accused. You still obey God, you understand. And so here again, this is part of the consecration. What if you violate that? What if you say, well, no, I'll take this part, not this part? It's not going to work. It violates the consecration, so you'd never be consecrated. Then it affects the whole nation.
Mm-hmm.
No man's an island. What you do has ripple effect. You disobey God, it touches other people as well, not just you.
That's the truth. And Moses said unto Aaron and to his sons, boil the flesh at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and there eat it with the bread that is in the basket of consecrations, as I command it, saying, Aaron and his sons shall eat it. And that which remaineth of the flesh and of the bread shall you burn with fire.
Now, here again, this I've thought about this a lot. How Aaron's high priestly garments, which is described as intricately made, and the appearance of these garments and the value. And now he says, sprinkle blood and oil on them.
I missed that.
Isn't that amazing? But look at this. Consecration requires both blood and the oil representing, I believe, the Holy Spirit. It's the anointing oil, right? And so you look at the blood of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. It takes both.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
What set Jesus apart? It was the Holy Spirit. What sets us apart? Our receiving Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
And so the blood and the Spirit of God has to be put on us, so to speak. We know the Spirit of God lives in us. And the blood is in our heart by faith, right? But it takes both to be consecrated to the Lord.
I'm sorry I missed that verse. But
and Jesus did that very thing at the cross.
Hmm.
He kept himself yielded. He was set apart by the Holy Spirit. And then his blood, shedding his blood to give us remission of sin, that set him apart from any human being that ever lived or ever will live. You with me?
Did you remember Aaron's, as Pete said earlier, the high priest's garments? You remember that chest plate, it had all those very valuable gemstones in it of the 12 tribes. What man would consider to be most important, what man would deem most valuable. In today's society, what do people do? They tend to separate with the who has. Who's got these jewels on? They're wealthy. We'll separate them. But what's God's way? No, it's the blood. It's the Word of God. Isn't that something? And I'm so glad. I'm sorry I missed that verse because that's a super important one. I read ahead by accident. So you keep going. I read ahead. You go ahead with T.
Okay. So which one did you read?
I've read through 32.
Okay. So Mary's, you're talking about where he tells him to boil the flesh.
Yeah.
Okay. So Moses told Aaron his son, now they're not putting it on the brass altar and sacrificing it, but they're boiling this flesh of the consecration ram at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they're to eat it there. They can't go outside. They have a designated place, a set-apart place that's declared to be holy. That's where they eat this, along with the bread that was in the basket that was brought for the consecration offering. And so Aaron and his sons were to eat the meal exactly in the manner that God commanded. It's not just sit down and eat a meal. You do that God's way as part of the consecration. And you think of eating the Word of God. You present yourself before the Lord. You're eating what the Lord is offering you. Do it His way. And then he was to be burned with fire. What was not eaten was to be burned with fire until it was consumed. Now, the thing that I get out of this, you'll see this on more than one occasion. A sacrifice is brought as a substitute. So, what the priests are representing the Lord. And so that sacrifice, by the ordination of God, they're to totally consume that, right? And what they don't, they're to burn. God, when He wants you consecrated, All. So what they didn't eat, they had to burn to where there's nothing left over. You with me? You don't leave it left, anything left over. You take what God gives you, consecrate yourself totally to the Lord. And that, my friend, is somewhat rare. People say they are. Part. God wants all. Did Jesus totally consecrate himself to the Lord? To God, his Father? Absolutely. Should we be totally consecrated to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father? Absolutely. But isn't it amazing how we want to reserve some things? Do things our way. Might make for a good song, but a horrible testimony.
Verse 33, and you shall not go out of the door of the tabernacle of congregation in 7 days, until the days of your consecration be at an end. For 7 days shall he consecrate you.
You think about this. For 7 days a week, they cannot leave the tabernacle complex. They can't go outside. Because, and I don't know all the meaning of all this, it takes 7 days to complete a week, right? And so it appears that he's talking about a completion here. The consecration is not complete until the 7 days are completed. And so you're staying, if I can say it this way, the presence of God. You're staying there where God is, God's house, so to speak, for 7 days. That's for Aaron and his sons, though, to remain there. Moses has said the consecration oil, the what has been put on you to set you apart is on you. Don't you leave this place. If you do, you'll die. That's an incentive to stay there until the consecration is complete.
Absolutely. As he has done this day, so the Lord hath commanded to do, to make an atonement for you. Therefore shall you abide at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation day and night 7 days, and keep the charge of the Lord that you do not die, for so I am commanded.
So Moses tells them, he said, now what I've done, these things that I've done, is by the instruction of the Lord. In other words, I didn't come up with this procedure. God did, and you'd better follow that procedure. If you don't, and you don't stay consecrated to the Lord, and you go out, you will die. And what happens so often is people don't stay before the Lord and they go out, and what do? They die. Not physically. They die to the things of God. And ultimately, it's amazing to me how many people are getting farther and farther from God. They don't see a need to assemble themselves together, and yet the writer of Hebrews says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, especially when you see the day approaching. And if it's not approaching now, I don't know when, you understand. And the people say, well, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Well, church doesn't make you a Christian. But if you're really like Christ, I think you'd want to be where God is. Now, I think you would want to assemble yourselves together. What are you going to do? Be an island? Do you not have anything to get? Do you have it all? Do you not need to receive anything? What does he say? That we teach one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. You understand? And so when you say, I don't need to forsake myself, I don't need to assemble myself, what you're saying is I'm self-sufficient. I don't need this. I don't need that. No, you need it. I need it. You understand? We need to be in the presence of the Lord. We need to be where God is. Well, God's in my house. Well, let's put a camera on you and see what all activity goes on in your house and see how much of it's God. You see where I'm coming from? I'm not trying to be just mean-spirited. I'm just saying we make excuses not to do things God's way. But if you want to be acceptable to God, you have to do it God's way.
And we can make excuses of things and think about how easy internet access and live streaming and all that can make it acceptable for us not to come to the house of the Lord. Well, I can just watch it on YouTube. I can watch a live stream. And I think we just have to be mindful of the fact that God does not change. His word is not changing, no matter what changes come about because of technology. He said, do not forsake the assembling. No matter if you can get it in a split second on a device and watch it on a YouTube. Something to consider.
And we'll step out here and maybe make everybody mad, okay? But whatever. You look at what's going on today to keep people out of church.
Yes. Yes.
There's so many distractions and temptations. Mm-hmm. You know, now they're doing their ball games on Wednesday nights for the churches or on Sundays and all this. And, you know, I coached for several years. My son played ball, and he was playing baseball, and he came to me and he said, now we'll have to, we practice on Wednesday. I said, you not. You're going to be in church. Well, they'll throw me off the team. I said, so be it. God's more important than that. I said, I'll talk to you, coach. And I said, you tell your coach that your daddy said that you're going to be in church on Wednesday night and you can't be practicing. A coach said, I wish all the parents would do like that. He didn't kick him off of the team or anything like that. And so now we've got it on Sundays now. And you don't just play one game. You do the elimination games, you know. And so you get all caught up in it, and, you know, and you talk about the people at church and look at all the heathen you're around at the ball game, fussing and wanting to kill the umpire and all this kind of stuff. And look at the environment that you subject yourself to. And you're going to tell me that God's in the place? I'm going to tell you that the devil's dominating the atmosphere. Okay? Sports has been one of the major downfalls to the United States of America because it's taken people away from God. I quit it and I don't miss it, and I could care less about it because I see the underlying source behind it. That's your God now. Well, it's not my God. Yeah, that's where you go to worship. You don't go to church to worship. You go to the ball field to worship. Well, I'm not worshiping. Sure you are. You don't want to miss it. You're passionate for it. Well, you know, I don't want my kids to be deprived. So you'd rather for them to go to hell and go the ways of the world. And I'm telling you, you look at the generation around you and you'll see that parents have sold their children to the devil. Because the parents stopped meeting with God. And so now, good law-abiding citizens are bringing their children up. Very seldom do they go to church. Very seldom are they subjected to the Spirit of God or to the Word of God. They get very little training. And you want to know why they act like they act? Because you subject them to the devil all the time and not to God. Don't shout me down because I'm teaching good. I'm telling you, America better wake up. Better wake up. Train up a child in the way he should go. Bring him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Talk to him about the Word of God when you get up. Talk to him about the Word of God when you sit down. Talk to him about the Word of God when you walk by the way. Keep the Word of God before him all the time. He'll never get away from it. I didn't say he would never stray out. I said the Word of God will be talking to him while he's living like he knows he's not supposed to live. The Word of God will deal with his heart. I know by experience. I could be in places and hear my mama. Everybody having fun, and I'm hearing, if the rapture would take place tonight, would Jesus come in this place? And I'm saying, not a chance. I never got away from the training. Thank God that somebody cared enough about me to make me go to church when I was a teenager. Long as you live under this roof, you will be in church. I appreciate that. Because they cared enough about me to try to keep me out of hell, you understand? Rather than just to sell me off to be popular in society.
You know, Satan will use all kinds of distractions to keep you from receiving what the Lord has intended for you to receive. You never know when the Lord has a word of knowledge or wants to minister to you, and you think, well, you know, I don't need to come to this tonight, you know, it's the end of the week, we've got this, I want to do this, I can catch it on the live streaming. And you just missed the Lord wanting to minister to you because you didn't show up. And so we look at Aaron and his sons were to stay in that tabernacle courtyard 7 days in the presence of the Lord. Stay where the Lord is. Get prepared to do the work that I've got assigned for you to do. For them, it was life or death. And there's so much truth to that. We don't even understand that we're so flippant with our spiritual lives. We don't understand. We don't value them the way that we need to value it. Because we're just thinking naturally. Just thinking naturally. Don't forsake the assembling.
Jesus kept himself consecrated to God.
Always, yeah.
That's how he lived a sinless life. He didn't look at the things of the world. He looked at the things of God. That's what he expects out of a believer. That we're to keep our eyes on him and keep ourselves separated from the world. And these people that are being anointed here, these people are being going through this process of consecration is to keep themselves separated from the world. They're not to be like the rest of the tribes, let alone the rest of the heathen. But they're not even to be like the rest of the tribes. They're to be different because they are representatives of the Lord. And so there are times, as Heather was talking about, that God wants to speak to people. I have had on many occasions the Lord drop a message in my heart to preach that particular morning, evening, whatever. And then I would think, I hope that so-and-so is there because this would minister to them. And it's amazing that so-and-so is never there when that's going on. What they need to hear, they don't hear. I didn't come up with it. God came up with it, and then they wonder, well, why doesn't God speak to me? Because you don't get in His presence. That's why He didn't speak to you. God has something to say. But you come to Him, He invites you. You stay out if you want to. There's no skin off His teeth, you understand? You're the loser. We need to learn to live our lives consecrated to the Lord. And it's not a boring life. You understand?
So you can look at this as, well, we're trying to put people under law. You need to be here, attendance, blah, blah, blah. You
no,
can
look at it that way. That's what we're talking about.
No, what we're talking about is a matter of the heart here. God did all that He knew to do to protect and bless the Israelites. If you'll just obey me, I've got your best interest at heart. I want to protect you. I want to bless you. But that's the bottom line, is we have to do it His way. And so, from our perspective, it's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of protection. It's a matter of warning. It's a matter of correcting. You understand?
I'm telling you what we're talking about right now. We didn't have a clue we was going to say this.
I know that.
I mean, that's definitely not in our notes or nothing else. I just feel like the Lord's wanting to get a message across, you know, to people in the classroom, people out of the classroom. The Lord wants them to hear something, and I have no vendetta. You come to me and say, well, I'm going to go on vacation tomorrow. Well, help yourself. Now, I'm not going to, break bad on you, get into legalism and all this type thing. I'm not legalistic. I don't come to here because I feel like I'm obligated. I want to be here. Do you understand? I don't go to church because even before I went into ministry, when I really gave my heart to the Lord, I went to church because I wanted to. And I'd be there every time they had a service because I wanted to. Not because I'm afraid somebody's going to talk about me or hold a stick over me or anything like that. I felt like I had a much better chance of hearing from the Spirit of God in that environment than I did staying at home, especially with a TB flare, getting all the perversion out of Hollywood. God not speaking to me there, you know. So just understand, God wants us set apart for Him. Now we're seeing a ceremonial setting apart here with the priest and the high priest. Jesus was set apart by the Holy Spirit. He didn't go through all this ritual. You understand? So those who were abiding by law, supposedly, promoting the law, couldn't even understand He was fulfilling the law. He was keeping himself consecrated to the Lord. And all his ministry wasn't in the temple. A lot of his ministry was out on the hillside, so to speak, in the country, out in the open air or whatever. Not even under a tent. Wanting to be where the Lord wanted him to be. That's what I'm asking you. I want your heart to the point that you want to be where the Lord wants you to be. I don't have a bit of problem. If the Lord lays it on somebody's heart that attends this church, listen, you need to go to such and such a church tomorrow. You tell me that, I'm going to say you obey God. Don't you miss God. If that's what God's telling you to do, you do that. But I'll just tell you, make sure that you know it's God. That's all. You understand? We're not territorial. We're not controlling. We just want people dedicated to the Lord. To where you want to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, our time's up, so we're going to have to stop here and take a break and come back to our context, I think.